reading to you in 1 John, the first chapter, and with the 9th verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then, 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been doing that. Have I always done what God wants me to do? No, I haven't. I wish I could say I had, and nobody else can either, for that matter. I need you to pray for us tonight because my blood sugar is out of control and I'm just feeling not good. So pray for me, will you? And sit back, kick off your slippers. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Mark, the 8th chapter, and let's begin reading at the 34th verse. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Tonight we've labeled this a challenging invitation. Well, the Bible has many different kinds of invitations, but first of all, this one is an invitation to salvation. If you're listening tonight and you've never trusted Jesus, I want you to know this message is for you. God Almighty is sitting down tonight and writing you a letter to you personally. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, it's hard for me to understand why people cannot believe that they're sinners. You know that you've done things wrong. You've lied, you've cheated, you've done things, you've been mad at people, you've cursed people. You might even be unfaithful to your wife, you might be unfaithful to your husband. But we have all sinned, and I want you to know, so you're involved in this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, all of us could accept this invitation, and I read in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then I read in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, there's invitations to find comfort. And I read in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I shall give you rest. Tonight, some of you are sitting there and you're saying, well, Cecil, I want you to know I need comfort. I know that my business is failing. I know there's payments on my house that'll be due. If I don't make them, I'll lose my house. And I know I need to go to a doctor today and check up, and yet I don't really want to do it. I don't want to spend the money. And we have all this health care thing up in the air. It's the most stupid thing I've ever heard, but that's what's going on. Well, we have an invitation to pray in times of need. And let me read it to you in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. My stars, remember what his eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man, which God has planned for those that love him. Well, listen. Now another challenging invitation, and this is a tough one, a invitation to discipleship. An invitation to count the cost. Oh, you know what? You don't go build a house without first finding out what the concrete's going to cost you, what the wood's going to cost you, and all these things. And an invitation to suffering, deprivation, and even to martyrdom. Friends, I want you to know that there are people overseas and in America who are suffering martyrdom right now who are Christians. Do you recall the time years and years ago down in South America where these five missionary men went down in an airplane and they went down to take this gospel to these men, these natives, and they were all killed, every one of them, spear through their hearts. Did you know that when I had just been saved when this all came about, and this woman of the one of the preachers that was killed came back to America and began to plead for missionaries to come down to South America to lead these people to Christ. Well, did you know, this is unreal, the man that killed this one preacher boy, God saved him, God called him to preach, and he baptized this young preacher's son. That's what God did. Oh, friends, there's many, many times that, well, I recall back to the Bible broadcast. No. It was Back to God Hour, I believe. And this, they would go down in Mexico on airplanes, and they drop out Gospel of John in their own language. Well, this young man was out there, and sure enough, he saw these things fall out of heaven from this airplane. He went over and picked it up. And he sat down and he read it, and he read the Gospel of John. And right then and there, that young man invited Jesus into his heart. Now, this really happened. He went back into town and he told his family, I have found Jesus. And I want to have a town hall meeting and call all my loved ones and friends to this meeting. And I want to tell them how I found Jesus. Now, here's what happened. This place was filled. This big building was filled. The religious leaders of that day came in, grabbed this young man, put a rope around his ankles, and drug him to death down through the city. That really happened. You see, there is people who are suffering martyrdom today in China and Russia where they have to hide the gospel, in the Ukraine and down in Cuba. In fact, the matter's a dear evangelist friend of mine right now is in Cuba, and he's not afraid, and he's doing what God called him to do. Well, what this challenge invitation is all about, first of all, a challenge to forget self. Let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. This is not as easy a challenge to accept. We're all prone to look out for number one. Even the disciples longed for high places, and I read in Mark 10:27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible. Now Jesus said, those who leave home for the gospel's sake shall receive 100-fold times as much in this present age. Well, I told you when God called me to preach, that first year I was saved, I thought I'd died and went to heaven. I was in this book day and night, studying, praying, asking questions, calling my pastor, calling deacons, calling my Sunday school teacher. I wanted to know what the Lord wanted for my life, but I sure had no idea that it was to preach. No, I did not. Well, this discipleship calls for giving Christ first place. Friends, that's where the rub comes in. Oh, my, my, my. You say, well, he's my first place in my life, but is he really? I told you I had a stepmother that I hated, and she hated me. And I say she beat me and locked me and put me in the basement and tortured me and tormented me and all these things. Well, when I accepted Jesus, I truly, in my heart, thought that I had forgiven her. I really, really thought I'd forgiven her. But undoubtedly, there was something I held in my heart that I did not forgive. And a few years later, in a bad dream, I dreamt about my stepmother. A terrible dream. I don't know what it was all about. I couldn't tell you. But I know it was awful. The next morning, I called my sister and I called California. And I asked her, I said, Betty, what is Mary's phone number? She said, why would you want to talk to her? She don't like you. She hates you and you hate her. I said, I have to call her. And when I called her, my fingers shook as I dialed that phone because of all the things that went through my mind and my heart while that phone was ringing. She answered and she said, who is this? And I said, Cecil. She said, Cecil Moe, what do you want? I said, I want to call you and I want to tell you that I love you and I forgive you. Oh, friends, she couldn't speak, nor could I. You see, the Lord had filled my heart with full of love, and I wanted to ask her for forgiveness and all these things. I didn't do anything, but I hated her. See, I didn't do anything to her. She's the one that beat me and abused me. But, oh, my friend, what a joy that was to lift that off my heart. So, now, if it hadn't been for Jesus being first place in my life, I could have done that. Now, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And I read in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, he still wants to have preeminence in our lives. And I read in Colossians 1st chapter, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy in our lives. Oh, my stars, what's on the throne of your life? Who was first place, self or Savior? And, beloved, that is a hard question, and don't think it isn't. Is Christ number one in your life? You say, well, Cecil, I don't understand it. He wants to be first place. What about my wife and my kids? He gives you plenty of room in your heart for your wife and your kids. But he must have first place in your life. Now, this is a challenge to full surrender. Let him take up his cross, and the cross is about death. Jesus had just revealed his coming death in verse 31. He then began to teach them about the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Well, Peter rebelled at this message. Verse 32, he spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Oh, Peter, he had so many problems. I guess the reason I like him, because I'm kind of like him, impetuous and all these things. Peter didn't yet understand God's plan of redemption. Taking up the cross is about full surrender. Now, Christ surrendered himself to the cross to save us. And we are to surrender to him in everything. What are you holding back from the Lord tonight? Do you know, I've heard people say, you know, I don't like to pray because I'm afraid God's going to ask me to do things I can't do. Now, let me tell you what. I said I did not know that God was going to call me to preach, and I'm sure glad I didn't. It was a total surprise because I did not feel qualified, and I still don't. And I've been preaching for 54 years, and I still don't feel qualified. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm so glad I did, because I tell you, thousands of people I've had the privilege introducing to Christ in prisons, thousands in prisons, and on the outside, and in revivals, and when I pastored. Oh, my friends, there's nothing, there's nothing in this world more wonderful than to sit down with a lost man or lost woman or boy or girl and tell him about Jesus. Let me tell you what happened to me years and years ago. I was preaching a revival in Burlington, Washington. And every morning I'd go down to the pastor's study, and we'd go out and we'd take names and we'd go out and visit people who came to the meeting, and we'd visit lost people. And this particular morning, Brother Hawes said, Cecil, Sarah, now she was 5 years old, Sarah wants to speak to you. And I said, Sarah, what's on your mind, honey? And she said, could we go out to the Sunday school room? And I said, sure. And she was just a little tiny mite. And I took her by the hand, and we went out to the Sunday school room, and it was one of these old-fashioned oil stoves. And it wasn't on, of course. And I picked her up and I sat her on the stove so her and I'd be about eyeball to eyeball. And she said, Brother Bo, I'm lost and I want to be safe. 5 years old. The little girl had been under the been under the gospel for ever since she was born. Born and raised in church. And I didn't know what to think. I thought, my stars, a little five-year-old girl. But I said, well, Sarah, if you want to pray to receive Christ, here's a plan of salvation, which she already knew frontwards and backwards. And I said, would you like to invite Christ in your heart? And she said, yes, I would. So we prayed together, and she invited Christ in her heart. Now, every time I'd see Sarah, excuse me, my throat is so bad today, I'd say, Sarah, have you followed the Lord yet in baptism? And she'd say, no, no, I'm afraid. Well, to make a long story short, I was preaching. Her dad was transferred or went to a church down in Texas, and he called me for a revival down there. So I went down there to hold a revival. And I come in the house, and this lady was standing with her back to me washing dishes in the sink. And I said to Brother Hawes, I said, who's that? He said, that's Sarah. And here she's a young woman, married, and has family. And I went up and I hugged her, and I said, Sarah, have you got baptized yet? Oh, she said, yes, I sure did, because it was a little joke between her and I, but she said I wasn't afraid then. But listen, there's a challenge today to follow our Savior. Let him follow me. Only the saved can follow Jesus. The indwelling Holy Spirit makes this possible. And I read in John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and be in you. Friends, I must tell you this story about this doctor who had been an alcoholic, and he got converted to Christ. And one day a young man came to his office for a physical examination to buy a life insurance policy. And he come in and he says, Doc, you know, you was a town drunk years ago, and you say you've been converted to Christ. And I'm going to ask you a question, Doc. Whenever you're by yourself, do you ever have a desire to have a drink? Well, he said, I probably would. But he said, you see, I'm never alone because Christ lives within my heart. Now, what does it say? The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Well, following Christ may lead through difficult places. That's what discipleship's about. Accepting this challenging invitation makes life worthwhile. But in holding back, we lose the best of life. Verse 35. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Let me ask you, dear friends, will you accept the challenge of discipleship tonight? Well, more than that, will you be willing to turn your back on the old way of life and come to Jesus, the little child, and ask him to forgive you and to come into your heart and save you? Say, well, Cecil, I go to a church and I've been baptized and I do all these things. I go to Sunday school and I go to prayer meeting. That's fine and good, and you really should. But, beloved, that'll never get you into heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Now, God has a gift for you tonight. If you're not saved, he has that gift in his hand. And he wants you to reach out by faith and take that gift and give your heart to Jesus. And here's how the prayer goes. If you've got a tug in your heart, but listen, friend, don't pray this prayer if you don't really mean it, because it could get you in a lot of trouble. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the very precious name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you hear my prayer tonight. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. And Lord, right now, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on a phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. And I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money, because I don't do that. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Tonight might be the last chance you'll ever hear how to be saved. So I'm asking you, say, well, Cecil, I don't understand it. Well, give me a call at 303-471-8534. I'll talk to you. Call me collect and I'll accept the charge, okay? I tell you something, God's good.
Joy that floods my soul.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please continue to pray for our health and our prison ministry. Sunday we'll be out there for 3 services. Pray that God will give me the strength and the health to do it. Oh, you just don't know how I love those inmates. Love to tell them that the story of God's redeeming grace, that there's hope for them. There was no hope for me until I met a preacher that told me the love story about Christ. Well, listen, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Oh, keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.